There's nothing better than sports on a Sunday.
The return to glory.
It's the kickoff.
20, he will! Off. Way down to bang, bang!
Or tee off.
They're going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
Yeah! On Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
A final round of the Masters edition, a Sunday edition of Sunday Huddle on ESPN 106.3. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Kyle Show and Cade Chumsden with you from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Next hour, streaming live on YouTube as well at ESPN West Palm on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter/X. So tune in there. As we got a lot to break down today, we got one of the more intense, exciting, big time Masters final rounds that we could remember. Major final rounds that we could remember with Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau teeing off together at 2:30 p.m. Rory 6 under yesterday. Bryson has been consistent throughout the tournament. Was another 3 under yesterday. He is 10 under total score. Rory is 12 under. McIlroy has a lot of pressure here. We got a lot to break down. We're touching on the third round yesterday, a great Saturday up in Augusta, so we'll do a little bit of that. We got a little bit of the NBA playoff picture as it's the last day of the regular season. So NBA playoff scenarios, possibilities, the big games to watch out for, and what to expect. Cade and I will also make some picks towards the end of the show. Colin Russo, Cade Chumsden on Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet. Go try that app today because we know you're going to be watching that final round of the Masters. We know you're going to be watching the NBA playoffs, and we know you're going to be tuning into baseball throughout the rest of the regular season because there is no better time to get started on the sportsbook at Hard Rock Bet. Go download it now on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. Go to hardrock.bet online to get started today. Hard Rock Bet, it's more for both types of players. It covers both ends of the spectrum. If you're a brand new player, it's easy to get acclimated. It's easy to understand how to maneuver through the app. If you're the experienced player, it's easy to get creative, get savvy with try to put together intricate parlays. Put the hazard on Hard Rock Bet. If you try it now, you get up to $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not hit. That first bet can be a parlay, a prop, the over, whatever you like to bet, any game you choose. Win that first bet or get the same amount you bet back as a bonus bet. It's Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida. The wager, terms and conditions apply. Consider by gambling, call 1-888. Admit it. So we got an epic Sunday in store for us, Cade. Why don't you give us a little bit of a rundown of what the leaderboard looks like at that tournament up in Augusta.
Good morning to yourself, Colin. It is my favorite week sports, one of them for sure. This is just the most wonderful time
of the
year. This is your leaderboard update for the Masters, brought to you by Pain Care Florida. At Pain Care Florida, their specialists use state-of-the-art procedures to relieve pain and get you moving. Pain Care Florida, stop hurting, start living today. This leaderboard update is also brought to you by the Breakers Palm Beach, Kaiser University, and PGA Golf Club. Well, like you said before, Rory McIlroy has been on a tear the last few days. Back-to-back 66s in rounds 2 and 3 has put him with the two-shot lead at 12 under par. But right behind him, the master of LIV Golf so far, Bryson DeChambeau, 10 under par, a massive 40-foot birdie yesterday to put him within 2 of the lead, the only other man in double-digit figures besides our leader, Rory McIlroy. They're in the final pairing today. It's only their sixth time they have ever been in a pairing in a professional golf tournament. There's a few guys behind the two leaders who could have a chance at this tournament right now. Four back of Rory is Corey Connors at 8 under, and then two guys at 6 under, Patrick Reed and Ludvig Åberg, and then a slew of guys at 4 under, 5 under. It's going to be a lot to get within this 12-shot mark, but we'll see what happens today on a beautiful, beautiful Augusta National Masters Sunday, Colin.
Cade Chumsden, Colin Russo. So yesterday, Saturday, was interesting. Yeah, Justin Rose coming in as the leader through two rounds. And even after the first round, he was able to maintain his lead. Came in at 8 under, and he never really got any sort of momentum throughout the day. Bryson DeChambeau, it was the guy he was playing with. DeChambeau was playing great towards the end of his round. DeChambeau started really getting a rhythm here with 3 birdies in his last 4 holes. It was a bit of up and down from DeChambeau as well. But Justin Rose, you got the sense that there was just no rhythm. He was not good on the greens. His putter was doing him no favors. Just somebody who just didn't catch a break the whole way. And it's almost a shame because Rose is always in the mix. But that's an impossible spot. You can't start out the round and maintain that lead. It's very difficult to maintain that lead through three rounds and especially four. So he's sitting at 5 under, a bit behind the eight ball with a 75 he shot yesterday. But on the other side of things, like Scottie Scheffler had a good first round, was right in the mix. Then the last 2 days sort of has been a fraction of himself. Talk about another guy who he couldn't really get going. There was no momentum to how he was playing. Scotty, for me, is probably well on the outside looking in. I do not anticipate any sort of heroics out of him today because he's just not playing that well. You got to play better than what he has been doing. And another guy who had trouble putting in good positions to get into birdie putt situations, never really got those opportunities, kid. And another guy who collapsed towards the end of the round because he was 7 under, well in the mix, was Shane Lowry. It's a shame because Shane Lowry is so likable, but he bogeys the last two holes and even walking off the course, you know what that's like, you know, when you when you screw up a pretty good round, up and down round, fine, but you have your moments. He had a good back nine for the first, for the most part, no bogeys from 10 to 16, and then he has the two to finish off the round. It just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Now, tell me this. You're a golfer. You've probably played consecutive rounds in this scenario, too. That 17, 18, having bad holes on those two when you know you got to play again the next day, what do you think's going through Shane Lowry's head entering into the final round?
At this point, there's really nothing to lose at this point, right? Because you gotta play aggressive. So far back.
You have to play aggressive.
You're just going to be firing on all cylinders. It is a hard thing to go into the clubhouse with. The fact that you had such a good round going, but these guys are also professionals. Like, that was one part of my game that I needed to work on more, was that mental aspect. But because these guys have been doing this for basically their whole lives, I don't think it's going to rattle Shane coming into today as it is just a disappointment to yesterday's round.
Well, let me ask you this. Outside of the top three, Rory, DeChambeau, and Corey Connors, who are 8 under and below, 8 under, 10 under, and 12 under, everybody else is flirting 6 and 5 and 4. It looks like a 3-horse race, maybe even a 2-horse race at the moment.
Yeah.
But if you're everybody else, do you almost bank on a collapse and that's the only way to keep pace?
You have to, but think about how many collapses we've had at the Masters.
This is a tournament that is synonymous with an insurmountable amount of pressure.
The last time Rory McIlroy had a 54-hole lead at the Masters in 2011, he shot an 80 in the final round and lost and took 15th place. I'm also thinking about Jordan Spieth, 2016, when he crumbles on 12 and Danny Willett wins. There's been several opportunities. Tiger Woods winning in 2019 was a collapse on 12 for Francesco Molinari, right? So there is very much a possibility that any one of these guys could come into play. And you just mentioned Scottie Scheffler, how you think he's a little bit on the outside. There's anyone at 5 under right now, I think it would be him. I'm going back to last summer. He shot a 62 last day at the Olympics to win gold.
Right.
62. So,
This is his course.
If there's a guy who just wants to go crazy on one day for no reason, it would be Scotty. I don't think he's going to win, but definitely don't count him out.
Well, you got Rory and Bryson, and that's the story. The 2:30 tee off there. I can't think of a moment, and you got the feel because everything started pointing in this direction towards the last two or three holes for either of those golfers yesterday, that they were going to be playing together. That was going to be the grouping and the whole thing. And then Rory finishes. DeChambeau was after him because he was with Rose. Rory finishes, he does the media, and he's breaking down some of his holes, and he was asked, he's like, Rory, like, looks like you're going to be playing with Bryson DeChambeau tomorrow, and this is a little bit of a rematch, and the question was phrased, how do you feel about getting a rematch where Bryson took it the first time the whole way? And McIlroy's response was, I think that's the key, to not make it a rematch. I can't make this about me versus him, I got to make this about me versus the course. I got to stay in my, his words were, I got to stay in my own bubble. That is important for me to stay in my own bubble. Now, if you flipped it, and then when Bryson finishes and he birdies his third hole in the last four, especially in birdieing 18 to finish with a 34 in the back nine, he's coming out. He's high-fiving everybody. He's fired up. He's got the live in him, you know, coming out. You know, he's utilizing the momentum. And then he's asked about it, and you could tell there was nobody more excited to play in that top grouping against Rory McIlroy in a kind of a second place mentality where you almost, there's no pressure on you. This guy is second place at the Masters right now, and all the pressure in the world is on first place. And Rory, there's a lot of golf to be played. I can't think of another moment recently where there was this amount of pressure with the story, Rory trying to get a major for the first time in 10 years. This is his year. He has played well throughout the season. He has had opportunities here and there, and he is desperate to become that immortal and get that Grand Slam, be the sixth golfer ever to do it, the first one in the last 21 years to do it, because Tiger accomplished it in 2004. I can't think of a time where there was more pressure on a golfer than today with Rory, especially with the one guy, you know, if it was, you know, Matt McCarty sitting on Rory's tail, it's a little different. The fact that it's DeChambeau, a guy who's sort of trying to keep Liv afloat here and trying to keep Liv into the mix at the Masters, which they haven't done since that Rahm one win. He's got an opportunity to kind of represent Liv a little bit. That is probably the last person you want sitting right behind you in your grouping with DeChambeau behind Rory. Kate, I'm fascinated to see how Rory, even the first four holes, you'll get a sense of how he feels. First four holes, if he's playing aggressively, he dominated. He had an unbelievable first six holes yesterday. He eagled two, birdied on one and three. He was the first golfer in Masters history to get six straight threes to open a round. First ever. I'm very curious to see how he's going to play that same six this time around with DeChambeau hot in his trails.
I cannot even begin to describe how excited I am to just see such a star-studded final round in the Masters. The last eight Masters winners have come from the final pairing, or final threesome, because there's been a few times that we've had to make some changes, right? But we always get the drama at the finish, whether it's a playoff, whether it's a comeback, whether there's a complete breakdown. The Masters gives us everything. And it's actually been a few years since we've had this, because you've had Scottie Scheffler, who's dominated.
Yeah.
John Rahm won by four strokes as well. I go back to 2019, probably, when Tiger won it.
The greatest Masters ever in terms of the story attached to it.
This is right up there for me.
Yeah.
You're talking about the man who has been chasing destiny for a decade at this point, since he won his three majors back in between 2011 and 2014. And then you've got the young upcoming star who's won two U.S. Opens, who's been in the mix in Masters, who is now the king of a completely different league all across the world, who's now the star of golf media when it comes to his YouTube channel.
He embraces the pressure. He embraces the crowd. He's changed the way he views it.
Yes.
Rory is classic. Rory is classy. He wants to keep things calm, tame. He doesn't want to get... If he plays poorly, he doesn't talk to the media. He's within his own world.
Yep.
He is trying to keep things as small as possible. Bryson's the opposite.
And those two worlds are about to collide today.
Bryson is the opposite. Bryson's trying to make this as big of a moment as he possibly can. Because he knows it's good for golf, the whole thing, but it's good for him. It's fun. Rory's trying to make this as... He's at the final round at Augusta. He's trying to make this as small as it possibly can be. And I am legitimately nervous. I'm not a Rory guy. I'm legitimately nervous for him.
I'm not even curious
playing.
To see.
I feel the pressure for Rory.
I'm curious to see how much he keeps to that, right? Because if you go back and you watch his major wins, 2014 PGA Championship comes to mind. Unbelievable last round. Huge Three wood. That's the shot, is his three wood on, I believe it was 15, wherever they were for the PGA Championship, puts it to 3 feet for an eagle, and that's what propels him into the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was hyped. He was all about the crowd. He was all about getting everyone going.
It took golf by storm those 3 years, yeah.
Yes. And he was Mr. Magic, and he was getting everyone excited. He has now become more of the veteran,
trying to recapture that magic is what he, or like, but a different way. He's
but he's not, though.
He's evolved.
That's the thing.
He's evolved.
He's trying to win, but he's not trying to do it in a flashy sort of
right.
way.
He's
just
evolved.
Wants to be cool, calm, and collective about it. I wonder if he does when the final round, when the end of the round starts coming and these bigger holes start coming up.
Now, yeah.
Amen corner and 15 and 16, right. Whether he taps into a little bit of that energy to try to counter yeah. Bryson, because that's all Bryson's going to do. You see that stare down on 16 yesterday at mm-hmm. the Patrons?
Yep.
All he wants to do is get everyone going.
How is Rory going to handle his par fives? You got to get a couple birdies on your par fives.
Yep.
But are you going to fall behind? Bryson yesterday too. The guy was bunkering left and right. I think there was about five different times where he bunkered and he had excellent bunker shots, including on 18.
Short game was incredible yesterday.
His short game was incredible, and part of me thinks, listen, I'm no pro golfer. But part of me thinks that's not necessarily the recipe to do it again today. We know how good you are to the bunker, Bryson. Let's try to avoid that today, yeah? But I'm thinking from another perspective. One of my basketball coaches from high school actually just texted me. And he said, he's listening. He said, you could share this with your audience. He goes, my prediction, I'm curious what your thoughts here. This is his prediction.
Okay.
He said, Bryson will take the lead in the first 4 to 5 holes. And then Rory will come back to win it. He said, book it. I don't know if I see Rory rumbling back if Bryson's able to take an early lead. Late back and forth makes sense, but an early one, that would be a very tricky scenario if Rory, you know, two bogeys in the front nine or something like that, and then all of a sudden you're on 9, 10, 11, which gave a lot of people problems yesterday. Rory had a good hole there, but still gave a lot of people problems. I don't know if I see that, but that would be the ultimate story. What is your prediction for what we will see today in this final round?
I'm going to take Rory, and he's going to do it in one of two ways. He's going to do it where he has the exact same start as yesterday, and he gets like 4 birdies in the first 6 holes or something like that.
Oh, wow, so he's going to start hot.
He's either going to wipe out everything that's around him, and he's going to start out unbelievably hot. There's going to be 6-stroke lead in the front nine. No need to watch the back nine. Or he's going to blow it in the first 4 holes, and this will be a tie game by the 5th hole. And then he'll win it on 16 or 17.
I lean that. I think this will be a tied score before we can blink.
Yes.
I don't know if I see that in the sense of a collapse. Bryson just having a good first couple holes. Then all of a sudden, Rory's got a little pressure there. If he hasn't necessarily had that great shot yet, that would be my prediction. That would also be the best round. I'm looking for the best round possible. I'd like to see Rory do it. It's said a lot, so it's a little beaten to death, but this is his year.
It's been his year.
Rory, this is your year. This is the time you got to do it. Let's call it like we see it. Now, last thing here. Corey Connors, quietly at 8-under. Played with McIlroy yesterday, was a little overshadowed because of Rory's excellence, but quietly put together a really good round after a bad first 6-7 holes. Corey Connors is somebody that can hang around, too. Again, somebody with no pressure on him whatsoever. He's going to be playing with Patrick Reed, who's a Masters winner himself. I could see Corey Connors being right there in the thick of things. I could see Ludwig popping into the fold. Because he was great. He's had a strange tournament. But yesterday, on that back nine, he was excellent. That is a sneaky... If there's somebody that could pop out of nowhere, you mentioned Scheffler. Of course Scheffler can do it.
Yeah.
Oberg can do it.
So before we started the show, I wrote down a game plan for everyone else besides Rory and Bryson, what they need to do today. Bogeys are going to kill you. You have to play bogey free today. Every bogey sets you farther and farther back behind, so you got to play clean golf. If I'm let's just say I'm playing golf, and like if I'm going to put together a course strategy, there's certain holes that I'm attacking and certain holes I'm playing for par.
Right.
You don't necessarily have to go for every single pin. These are the holes that I am making sure that I am attacking and I'm going for birdies. 2, 3, either 6 or 7. Not
if
both.
You're Roy.
No, this is everyone else.
Everyone else.
So you have to shoot at least 6 or 7 under today if you want to have a chance at Rory if you're back that far behind.
Yeah.
I think Rory shoots 2 or 3 under today. I don't think he goes for another crazy 6 under.
Right.
Which puts him at 14 or 15 under, which means if you're Corey Connors, you need to shoot 7 under today. Right? So, or if you're Patrick Reed, you're going to hope that Rory doesn't do something.
Yeah, Patrick Reed, they're not getting, if Rory's shooting 2 under, 3 under today, they're not winning. They're not coming close.
No.
But if Rory, you know, shoots a 72 today,
yes,
then all of a sudden this world opens up.
Yes. So the certain holes that have to be attacked today, 2, it's going to have a back right pin. We saw a double eagle there with Louis Oosthuizen back in 2012. That's a gettable pin.
Yeah. And Rory had an eagle there as well.
Yes. So there's a lot of pins that get easier on Sunday. 2 is one of them. 3 is one of them. 6 or 7. One of those has to be birdies. So there's 3 birdies right there.
You got a birdie 8. You got a birdie 8.
8 is another one. Survive Amen Corner birdies on 13, 15, 16. That's 7 birdies right there. Par the rest.
Yeah.
That is the key. Get an early hot start on the front 9. Go birdies on the 2 par 5s and 16 because that is an easy pin as well on the par 3.
Of the 4 par 5s, you need to be 4 under.
4 under.
You need to be 4 under.
Whether that's
an eagle, a par, and 2 birdies, you need to be 4 under.
Or all 4 birdies. You have to. If you want a chance to get ahead of with these leaders.
Yeah. You need to take advantage of your par 5s. You need to play conservatively on a couple of shots. You got to pick and choose your moments. And Rory was good with that yesterday. Rory had his moments where he was playing a little bit conservatively when he had a 3-stroke lead. You don't want to blow up. You don't want his 15 from round 1.
Yep.
When he double bogeyed. Or 17, for that matter.
Yep.
That could sneak up on anybody. Choose and pick and choose your moments. We're in store for hopefully an epic Sunday of golf in the final round of the Masters. Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau teeing off 2:30 p.m. in that final group. Rory, who shot a 66 yesterday. Bryson, who shot a 69. Bryson sitting there at 10 under. Rory at 12 under. Corey Connors is in third at 8 under. Flirting, sort of the only guy within arm's reach. Everybody else is hoping for 2 collapses. But should be fun. Should be fun. I'm going to pull for Rory as well. I think everybody on those grounds are going to be pulling for Rory. But the one thing about Bryson.
Oh, Bryson's got a whole lot of fans there.
Bryson has got the individual fan. Because once he gets the crowd going, it's just going to start buzzing in the air. It's easy to kind of fall into that when Bryson is doing the theatrics. Every casual fan there is going to want Rory to do it. But everybody there, 100% of the people, want a great round of golf. And if that means Bryson catching up here and there, that's what that means. In store for a good one, Masters Sunday, Masters final round, of course, later today. It's Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo and Kate Johnson. NBA playoff picture. You get the big game today with the Clippers visiting the Warriors. We'll get into some playoff scenarios. What games are big? What are the seeding scenarios? It should be a cool, good time. We've got a lot to break down. It's a very tricky back and forth. We'll try to figure it all out next. Stick around for it. Sunday Huddle on ESPN 106.3.
.631 smash, F-Track sneak on 1, alert, the smash on 1, ready?
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Been a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine over at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. They're here to fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand Anajar and Levine today because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. Listen, all it takes is one phone call to take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for that free consultation now. That's 1-800-747-FREE. Call 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Well, it's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3 with Colin Russo and Kate Chumsen from the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. A beautiful final round of the Masters Sunday day, the 13th of April, 2025. You get the NBA playoffs. That first round really kicks off on Saturday. But it's the last day of the regular season today, and you get a couple playoff implicating matchups. And I love this stuff. This is playoff scenarios that we'll be breaking down here. So the Eastern Conference, let's start there. is locked down. You get the play-in, which has a couple maneuvers that could change, but that 1-6 is locked down. So the Knicks are going to be playing Detroit. The Bucks are going to be playing the Pacers. The Celtics are going to be playing in the winner of the play-in, or the second winner of the play-in. And the Cavaliers are going to be in there as well. That's all locked down. So because the Knicks have the tiebreaker over the Pacers. So that 3-4 seed is not changing. On to the Western Conference, there's a lot more that could change. So the three that are locked down in their positions right now are the Lakers, the Rockets, and the Thunder. Thunder, of course, are well above everybody else. The Rockets are locked in at that 2 seed. And the Lakers, there's a couple five-way tie scenarios that can happen. But there's a couple things that we got to acknowledge before. I don't want to dive too far into the possibilities. But basically what's going to happen is you get the Denver Nuggets today playing against the Rockets. I'm going to assume, despite the Rockets having 52 wins, that the Nuggets are going to win this one. The Rockets have been resting their starters throughout the last couple games of the regular season. They're not going to be playing hard. Denver's playing for home court in that 4-5 series. New coach, they're going to be playing hard. They're going to get that win. I'm assuming that Denver is going to beat Houston today to finish out the regular season. Another game I'm taking an assumption with is the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are sitting there at the 7th seed. The T-Wolves and the Grizzlies are at the 7 and the 8 in the play-in, while the Golden State Warriors are the 6, Clippers at the 5, and the Nuggets at the 4. The T-Wolves are sitting there. They're 48-33, and today they're playing the Jazz. The Jazz may be the worst team in the NBA. The T-Wolves are playing, and they are in a win and out of the play-in situation. If they win, they have a guarantee at a top 6 seed, and we'll get into those tiebreakers just momentarily. So the T-Wolves, I'm also assuming, are going to beat the Jazz today. If that is a crazy assumption, all right. But they play at 3:30 today in the final game of the regular season. T-Wolves, I'm assuming they're going to win. So if the Nuggets, who clinch the 4 seed with a win today, I'm going to assume they're going to win and be locked down at the 4. The T-Wolves, the Warriors, and the Clippers, there's a lot more that could happen. Now, the Grizzlies are sitting on the outside looking in at the 8 seed. They would need the T-Wolves to lose in order to jump up a spot. I'm, again, assuming that the T-Wolves are going to beat the Jazz today. Now, the Clippers play at the Golden State Warriors today, 3:30 on ESPN. The Clippers are 3-0 against the Warriors head-to-head this season, and they're a game ahead of Golden State right now. But here's where it gets interesting. The Clippers are sitting at the 5, so they're slated to play Denver, with Denver getting home court in that first round. Clippers stay in that spot if they win today. They stay in that 5 spot. That is going to be their situation if they win at Golden State. Now, Golden State, on the other hand, if they lose, they are guaranteed in the play-in because they get the same record as Minnesota. So if Minnesota gets a win, Golden State gets a lose, they're going to drop to 7, and all of a sudden they're in the play-in. Now, in the rare situation, because the Clippers are a game ahead, that the Clippers lose, Golden State wins, and you get a 3-way tie at 49-33. Clippers would be 49-33, Golden State and the T-Wolves. The 3-way tiebreaker is record against each other, round robin. And of those three in that specific tiebreaker, the Clippers would be the odd man out. They are 3-4 against the Warriors and the T-Wolves. 3-4. The Warriors are 4-4, and the T-Wolves are 4-3. So in that situation, the T-Wolves would move to 5, Golden State would stay right at 6, and the Clippers would be in the play-in. That is your playoff scenario breakdown, because if you're the Clippers here, and this is where I'm getting, this is where maybe I'm diving too far into it, but like just hear my perspective here. They're not going to play to lose. Let's get that out of the way. They got a good coach. They're a veteran-ran team. They're 16-4 since the beginning of March. They've played absolutely outstanding. But is it the worst thing in the world if you're the Clippers and you can't beat the Warriors today in Golden State and you're going to be the 7, which means that you're going to play either Sacramento or Dallas and then get into the play-in and then likely play the 7? If that's the case, and you get into that play-in, you're going to play the 2 seed as the 7, likely. because they're 3-0 against the Grizzlies this season. I can't see them. I cannot see that happening. I can't see them losing to the Grizzlies in that situation, a team who has been reeling ever since they fired Taylor Jenkins, basically since the beginning of March. They would play Houston. Still on the road, but as a 2-7 matchup, the Clippers versus Houston, you think the Clippers would rather... Okay, now let me ask you this. You think the Clippers would rather play Houston or they'd rather play Denver? And I don't care that Denver just fired their coach and fired their general manager. Let's think about who's on Denver and who's on Houston. Would you rather play Houston or Denver in that situation?
I'm going to be dead honest. I'd rather play Denver.
Really?
I would rather play Denver.
I disagree with that. Why?
I understand. Denver...
Because of the coach firing?
That is part of it, part to do with it. But also, let's think about their regular season. It's been Jokic or nothing. And in the playoffs, they seem to come alive, right? But are you banking on a team in the Rockets that have been uber consistent, uber hot? They hit that 2 seed a while ago and really haven't let it go.
Right. Good defensive team, good coach, Ime Udoka.
Or are you going to go to a Denver team that considerably plays worse when their star player is off the floor? And I know they have a little bit of playoff magic with them, but at some point, that also shows in the regular season, and it hasn't been. So in my mind, I say rest your team all week, avoid playing another game, and go play a team that, if you can lock down their one star, you have a good chance of winning.
Well, locking down the best player in basketball is
difficult. It's a lot to ask for.
Well, let's flip it then. If you're Denver, and you're sitting there at the 4 with the win today, Golden State likely is going to stay put, but unless the T-Wolves lose. But Golden State versus the T-Wolves versus the Clippers, would you rather play the Clippers or the T-Wolves? You'd rather play the Clippers because they lost to the T-Wolves last year. And I know it was a Karl Anthony Towns-led team, but Gobert being there, the perimeter defenders, Jaden McDaniels and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, hounded Jamal Murray, even Anthony Edwards, hounded the ball handlers of Denver. That's not a good matchup for Denver. Now, the Clippers, on the other hand, I'm the opposite way of you. I'd rather play the Houston because Houston hasn't done anything in the postseason. That playoff experience, I think, always makes a huge difference, especially in that early part. Knowing how to play a team 6 straight times and win 4 of them. Fred VanVleet has experience. Nobody else does on that team. If you're going to be looking for Jalen Green to put together 6 straight games against the same defense, and Sengun's a good player, Amen Thompson, it's a good team, but it's an inexperienced team. Comparatively to the Clippers, who have Kawhi Leonard healthy, playing excellent. Kawhi Leonard's averaging 25 points per game in his last 20. Kawhi Leonard, in my opinion, is a top 5 postseason player, if healthy, in basketball. If I'm the Clippers, I'm okay with that. I'm not saying I search for that, but if that's what falls into my lap, you avoid OKC in the second round, you avoid Denver in the first round, and you get to deal with Houston in that first round as a 2-7. I'd be okay with that personally. And think about it. They're only 3 games behind Houston. It's not that big of a discrepancy in the quality of team. So, but for Denver's situation, the way that makes me nervous about Denver is you can't get a read on them yet. You can't get a read on them post-Mike Malone, post-Calvin Booth, who they fired with 3 games remaining. Yeah, they beat the Grizzlies. Anybody could beat the Grizzlies right now. I took their over. They need to go 1-0, by the way. And they need to beat Dallas, and I win my over. But they beat Sacramento, and they beat the Grizzlies. I can't write home about that. Getting a feel for how their adjustments are going to be in the postseason and what the real feel of that team is post-Mike Malone is going to be really interesting. So maybe because of that, I'd listen to the Denver argument because I think it's more about the coach there. But anything with Jokic and Jamal Murray in the postseason, and Jamal Murray, who didn't play well against Minnesota, but in the series before against the Lakers, was outstanding, that game winner in game 2. I would rather anybody else than dealing with Denver. I don't care how the depth of Denver, the whole thing, I'd rather not deal with Denver. If there's teams I'd rather not deal with, I'd rather not deal with the Lakers, I'd rather not deal with Denver, and I'd rather, to a degree, not deal with Golden State. And I know Golden State doesn't have the size to match up with teams, but anybody with Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry, who are two great playoff risers at this point in their career, that makes me nervous. And there's something to that. I think teams with a playoff riser, there's some, right? Like, Doncic is a great all-around player, but he's a lot better in the postseason as well. Jamal Murray, it might be the definition of a playoff riser. He is a different player when the postseason starts, in a good way. Jimmy Butler was another one of those guys. He did it for Miami for years. Second that postseason started, Jimmy Butler kicked it into another gear, and all of a sudden the team he was playing with was a whole lot more frustrating to deal with. Add that with Steph Curry. That is a tricky team. Now, it's going to be matchup-based with them. If they get a great big, Draymond Green is not going to be able to figure that out. But if you're playing the Lakers, who don't have a great big, it's an interesting matchup because you get Doncic, LeBron, Reeves versus Podzimski, Curry, Butler, and Draymond. Buddy Hield. That's an interesting matchup. That's okay. If I'm the Warriors, I'm okay with that matchup. Now, it hurts you lose Curry or LeBron in that first round in terms of what you're interested in. But if I'm Denver, I'd rather play the Clippers. But what I think is going to happen is I think Golden State will beat the Clippers today because they don't want to be in that play-in with a 37-year-old Curry and a 35-year-old Jimmy Butler. And I think the Clippers are going to fall down to that 7 spot. And I think they're going to be hanging around the play-in and they're going to get Houston that first round. So you're going to have the Rockets versus the Clippers in that first round, which I think the Rockets would be in a lot of trouble there. I really do. Harden against his former team. Like, there's not a lot to go on there. But Kawhi Leonard is great in the postseason. Norman Powell's underrated. That's an underrated team who's playing well at the right time. Zubac, him versus Sengun. And then the Lakers and Warriors, self-explanatory, would be a great series. And then you'd got Denver versus the T-Wolves, which was an excellent 7-game series last year. I don't think Denver wants that, but I think the T-Wolves might sign up for that. Now, they don't have Karl-Anthony Towns, and that two-big lineup is what gave Denver fits last year because they had two bigs dealing with Jokic, and Karl-Anthony Towns can't guard a parked car, but still, it was the prospect of the size. But that's a pesky team. That's a pesky team with good defense and a good coach, underrated coach, Chris Finch. That would be my preferred matchup. I'd prefer to see the Nuggets versus the T-Wolves. I'd prefer to see the Warriors versus the Lakers. And I'd prefer to see the Clippers win the play-in, get that 2 seed, and play the Rockets. What would be your, if I had to choose one, if you had to sculpt one, what would be your Western Conference layup?
It would have to be the Nuggets, T-Wolves, Lakers, Warriors.
So you agree with that, yeah.
It's just history. Is so much.
You want these fun rematches.
Yes. You want the rivalry. It's so great because I feel like NBA rivalries can kind of just spark up no matter what happens. If you get a good playoff series, they play each other again, boom. That's instantly something they want to play for.
Right.
Which I love kind of about the NBA is that nitty gritty, like grudges are a real thing in the NBA right now, especially when you go against former players, former teams.
The ego attached.
Everyone changing places all the time, even between coaches sometimes, right? With how many, like, everyone I feel like wants to beat Doc Rivers at this point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that would by far and away be the one that I want to see. And then with OKC winning, you either get the Rockets or the Clippers, who haven't been in a deep playoff run in a long time. They're going to go against the best of the best coming out of that 3, 4, 5, or 6, whether it's the Lakers and the Nuggets or whoever, right? And then I think we're going to weed out who's really got the depth of stars, and that Western Conference Finals should be one to remember.
Right. And you look over on the Eastern Conference, the Knicks would have trouble with Detroit. Detroit will be a pesky team for the Knicks to get rid of, and I'm not a Knicks guy because I don't like Thibodeau, their head coach, but that Knicks-Pistons first-round series is the only one with real intrigue for me because the Pacers and the Bucks neither of them are beating the Cavs. And I don't even know if either the Knicks or the Pistons are beating the Celtics. The interest in the Eastern Conference for me, that Knicks-Celtics will have the brand attached to it, so you'll watch it, you'll get into it. But other than that, you're kind of just waiting for the Celtics and the Cavaliers to play.
That's kind of what I'm thinking too.
You're kind of waiting for them to play and seeing if the Cavaliers can hold a candle to what Boston's probably going to turn up to in the postseason. Because Because Boston's going to be a better team in the postseason. They've coasted to 60 wins.
Yeah.
They needed to get home court for the majority of the playoffs, and that's going to be it. They didn't need to break any records, and they had two teams with 65 wins. They don't really care. That's not a huge deal to them.
It'll be interesting to see how coast-like these two teams go in the playoffs, whether they have to go play five or six games or whether they
value the rest. They're going to go after these teams, I assume, because they just want to get it done. Yeah. They're going to want to get it done. That's the idea. So, and I don't think the Knicks can – they can't keep pace with the Celtics. They can't do it. They don't score at enough of a rate, and the Boston's a better defensive team. And the Knicks are going to get hurt. When they get hurt, because Thibodeau plays these guys 500 minutes a game, when they get hurt, we're going to be asking the same questions as we do every year with Tom Thibodeau-led teams in the postseason. They get worse. They get broken down a little bit. Doesn't matter how many Iron Men are on the team. Thibodeau is not a postseason coach. He's a regular season coach.
That series, though, will be the most viewed series of the second round now. There's not a second round in the Western Conference that's going to match up with a Boston-New York.
Now, the East Coast time in us is going to come out because those games are going to start at 10:30 p.m., and it's going to be a huge pain in the rear end to watch. But you're right. That in terms of brand, Knicks Celtics would be the 7:30 ESPN with Breen on the call games, or ABC for that. I don't think they'd take ABC. So it'd be ESPN. That second round, you know, the Nuggets and the Thunder would be interesting. And if you're thinking about it, Clippers-Lakers might be fun if the Clippers were able to beat Houston in that situation. Rockets-Lakers doesn't really do it for you. But you're right. You're right.
But Lakers-Nuggets, if the Clippers go on to beat the Rockets, like you're saying, it would be Clippers-Thunder-Nuggets-Lakers.
No, because the Rockets are the two seed, so the two seed would be on the other side. It would be the Clippers facing the three seed, and the four seed plays in play in the Thunder, which is why if I'm the Clippers, you're going to have to deal with Denver in the first round. Then if you win, you're going to have to deal with OKC. I'd rather deal with LA than Houston. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe the matchups are not matchup, and the Lakers have beaten the Clippers throughout the regular season. But Clippers are dialed right now. They're hot. 7-game winning streak they're on. Very interesting game between them and the Warriors. 3:30 on ESPN today. A lot of playoff implications. Warriors win and they're out of the play-in. The T-Wolves against the Jazz, they win and they're out of the play-in. All eyes are on the Clippers here. You want to talk about some pressure. Clippers got to win to stay where they are at 5, but they're at Golden State. At Golden State, do they want to deal with Denver in that first round or get into the play-in and deal with Houston potentially? Kate Chums and Colin Russo, we got to make some picks against the spread, send you off into Masters final round on this Sunday in April. We'll blitz the book next. Stick around for it. Sunday Huddle on ESPN 106.3.
Red right, 24 double Puma on one. Right, right.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Hard Rock Bet, go download it today in the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store. Go to hardrock.bet online to get started now. Hard Rock caters to both types of players, the experienced and the new. You get the Masters final round today with Rory and DeChambeau teeing off at 2:30. Corey Connors kind of bringing up the rear at 8-under. Rory at 12-under, DeChambeau at 10-under. Staking out to be an excellent Masters Sunday. You get the NBA regular season closing out with the Lakers, or the Clippers, I should say, and the Warriors in a big playoff implicating matchup, 3:30 on ESPN. So you're going to be watching this stuff anyway. You might as well sprinkle a little action, put together a parlay on Hard Rock Bet. If you try it now, you get up to $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not hit. So it's that easy. You might as well make that first one today. Go do it now on Hard Rock Bet. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida. The wager terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMINUTE. Colin Russo, Cade Chumsen with you from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach on Sunday Huddle. We mentioned Masters Sunday. If you're curious on the leaderboard update, Cade has got you covered at that tournament down in Augusta.
Augusta is going to be absolutely gorgeous today. This leaderboard update is brought to you by Pain Care Florida. At Pain Care Florida, their specialists use state-of-the-art procedures to relieve pain and get you moving. Pain Care Florida, stop hurting and start living today. This leaderboard update is also brought to you by the Breakers Palm Beach, Kaiser University, and PGA Golf Club. Well, like Colin said, Bryson DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy, one for the ages. They both tee off at 2:30. Rory with the two-stroke lead at 12-under. Bryson at 10-under. There's a few guys right behind. Corey Connors, Patrick Reed, Ludvig Åberg, 8-under. And a couple at 6-under should be one to remember.
There it is. There's your coverage. There's your leaderboard update. Reed and Åberg, those are my two guys. That is going to be a very dangerous two guys at 6-under. That would be my... if there's a wild card, those would be my two guys. Just because Oberg is playing well at the good time. But, all right, Cade, let's make some picks now. It's time for us to blitz the book, presented by Hard Rock Bet. All right, blitz in the book, presented by Hard Rock Bet, where Cade and I are going to make a couple picks here, sending you off in the final round of Masters Sunday. Cade, all right, let's make a Masters pick while we're talking on the topic here. The winner, Rory, is minus 200. DeChambeau is plus 200. Yeah, Connor's at plus 1,400. Everybody else is basically in the thousands. Scottie Scheffler is at fourth at plus 3,000 alongside Oberg. Cade, what are you taking here?
Not even touching the winners, Colin. The Discover page of Hard Rock Bet has an amazing parlay for you. It's a head-to-head type of matchup. Rory versus DeChambeau, Rory. Scheffler versus Lowry, Scheffler. And Spieth versus Grayersman, Spieth. That's at plus 420. That's three different head-to-head matchups. That's the pick I'm taking. It's right there on the Discover page for Hard Rock Bet.
In terms of good value, Oberg and DeChambeau, Oberg is plus 600 there to just win head-to-head, like you said, in a matchup. I'm taking Oberg there. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. Maybe DeChambeau falls apart there in that back nine. Who knows? I'm going to do that, and I'm going to parlay that with Rory to win it all at minus 200. That will be my little parlay action. But, all right, Kate, that's our Masters side of things. Now let's go a little interesting, because by next time we're talking, we're going to be well underway into the NBA playoffs. What do you say here for your NBA champion?
I'm going to take a little bit of a different route. I'm going for value. Let me get the Cleveland Cavaliers at plus 575 right now. I think the West beats each other up, and the winner of the Cavs-Celtics will win the NBA championship.
Good value. I agree. I still think the Celtics are going to repeat. I take them at plus 195. That's not good odds, but that's what I would take. That's our Blitz the Book, presented by Hard Rock Bet. Kate Chums and Colin Russo with you. Everybody, enjoy your Sunday. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay focused, and enjoy a pretty epic Sunday of Rory McIlroy versus Bryson DeChambeau and a couple others sprinkled out on the Masters Sunday over in Augusta. You get the NBA last day of the regular season. By this time next week, we'll be in the thick of the NBA playoffs. Should be a lot of fun. Stick around for it. It's Colin Russo, Cade Chumsen, Sunday Huddle, ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.